Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want to welcome in Kelly Julison. Is that correct? And David Lanzoni. Kelly is with the Governor's Prevention Partnership, and David is a special agent in charge of the DEA here in New England. First of all, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are we doing? We're doing all right?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, Drug Take Back Day is Saturday. And I also noticed, just before we get into the details of it, there's drug take back and deactivation. Is adding deactivation into the sort of the nomenclature, is that new? Or has that been there? Like, I assume it's just like, I don't really know exactly what it means. I could guess, but can you just talk about that a little bit real quick?
Sure. And I think Dave can talk about it. How the DEA take back days work and what actually happens when you bring your medication back. But we at the Governor's Prevention Partnership, we have a project that we launched back in the fall called Prevention Starts With You, where we're bringing 50,000 drug deactivation and disposal pouches to homes in Greater Hartford and Greater New Haven. And so the deactivation component is actually to render the medication inactive.
You smush it or you...
No, you put it in a pouch, you add some water to it, and then there's a chemical adsorption reaction that actually renders the medications inactive. So then you can throw them in the trash and they're no longer present a danger to either you or a loved one or even a pet.
Yeah. So as opposed to just throwing it straight in the trash without doing that, it still could pose a danger if somebody stumbles upon it.
Exactly. Correct? Misuse, intentional or accidental. The deactivation component in our eyes at the Governor's Prevention Partnership is just so critically important. And it can't be overstated how critical actually removing the threat is. A lot of people talk about throwing it in the trash, flushing it down the toilet. But where does that go then? Yeah. There's still active chemicals, active components in those mixes. And so they go somewhere. Our ecosystem, our fish are coming back, in some cases testing positive for antibiotics. I don't think they're going to the fish pharmacy.
Yeah.
So
right.
Where is that coming from?
Right, somewhere. And we have two segments here, so we don't have to get all this stuff in right away, but I'm curious, David, what happens on Saturday?
So on Saturday, between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., the DEA will host its 26th National Drug Take Back Day. It's an opportunity for people to dispose of any unwanted items in their home, whether they be prescription and or over-the-counter drugs. I believe the last number I checked was well over 60, closer to 70 different collection sites here in the state.
That many?
Yes, sir. And then the DEA works very closely with their state local partners, as well as the assistance of the Connecticut National Guard, to get all the items that were collected and be disposed of properly.
To me, it's like about awareness and effort. Like people, you have to make it easy for people, right? Mm-hmm. And do you find that participation numbers, how have they trended over the years?
It seems to be getting – it started off a little bit slow the first couple of years that we did it. And as the event has continued to grow and as there's been more buy-in from a lot of the local police departments as well as the public, and they realize that it is completely anonymous, there's no follow-up, there's no questions asked.
Can't get arrested or charged.
That is correct. You know, I mean, obviously, our drug take-back day, our biggest focus is getting the prescription drugs and over-the-counter stuff. We don't accept syringes or sharps, and we don't accept any type of liquids. But it's an opportunity for them to be taken off the street. And with that, we average close to 8,000 to 9,000 pounds per collection.
Just on one day alone?
Sir, that's correct, yes.
Wow. And what do you, like, what's the range of things you see, to be honest?
You know, it goes from anything you can purchase, like, you know, over-the-counter cold medicines that you could buy at any one of the various pharmacies here in the state, as well as, you know, people with, you know, severe chronic illness that are suffering, and whether it be fentanyl patches or whether it be, you know, Vicodin, OxyContin, or anything in the hydrocodone family. Like, it's an opportunity to make sure that they don't fall into the hands of the youth here in Connecticut.
We're talking with Kelly Julison from the Governor's Prevention Partnership and David Lanzoni, special agent in charge with the DEA. Kelly, how is it, you know, you haven't been here for all 26, right? You've been here for about a dozen. How has it changed over the years in terms of this effort and the buy-in from the public? Because I'm sitting here as a consumer, and I'd be like, well, what would motivate me to participate, and so on and so forth. So I'm just curious, and David obviously mentioned that it's been slowly gaining momentum, but how has this developed and evolved?
Well, really, our role at the Governor's Prevention Partnership is specifically with the disposal pouches. So we're essentially creating every day as an opportunity to do Drug Take Back Day. Certainly,
so you're doing this all year round?
Yes, yeah. Because they're at-home options and very supportive of what's going on with the DEA and Saturday's event. Also, of course, there's take-back locations in local communities, whether your police department or your pharmacies. But really looking at an opportunity to create access and opportunity. And I always joke that I'm like Veruca Salt. When I want something, I want it now. And it's like the same thing when it comes to our drug disposal. If I'm taking the time to clean out my medicine cabinet, I'm going to want to do something with it in the moment. I may not want to wait until April or till September, till when there is a take-back day in my community. And so just having these pouches at home, it gives me an opportunity to safely dispose and deactivate my medication.
Okay, so can I just go get one, and then when I'm ready, I can use it? Because like for me, like I throw stuff in the trash. And I, you know, my wife and I will periodically go through the cabinet and, and like expire, and then we just trash it. So if it could be something a little better for the environment and keep someone potentially safer, I would do it if I had it in my house. So can I go, like, can I go pick one up and then take it home?
Sure, but the Governor's Prevention Partnership, we actually have them that we could send out to you. So we can send, if you visit our website, preventionct.org, we can actually send you five. So we have been partnering with community agencies for the last 6 months, ranging from the Connecticut Business and Industry Association to Food Share to the Hartford Marathon Foundation to be out in the community giving out these pouches and raising awareness, because so often people don't even realize that there's a risk to keep medication, to throw it out or flush it, or potentially to pill share. You know, oh, Brian, you know, I have something for my back that you're now having a backache. Please take my medication, and the danger that that presents.
Yep, absolutely. PreventionCT.org?
PreventionCT.org.
All right. It's always fun to get to meet new people. Kelly Julison with the Governor's Prevention Partnership, who was at the Yard Goats last night and saw our sign, Matt, the WTIC sign, and David Lanzoni with the DEA. I just want to say that thanks to the hustle of the folks at Sullivan and Lachine, this is what, because I didn't know what the deactivation kit looked like, and it's really like a sealed pouch, and I know people can't see it, and maybe we'll take a picture and post it on social, but you open it, put the medication in it, not the bottles, just the actual medication, and add water, because there's some sort of crystallized something in there.
There is an activated carbon at the bottom of that, and so it's an add with a desorption process that it's going to adhere to those molecules, and that's what's makes it irretrievable for any practical purpose.
What's the layman's person? You put it in and it fizzes out.
Yeah, it fizzes out. You actually hear.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It sizzle.
And there is a reseal. So you open it and then you can reseal it.
And then you throw it out. You throw it in the trash. And it's actually made of sugar cane. So it's relatively environmentally friendly itself. And it just goes in your regular trash can.
Wow. Go to preventionct.org and they will just send you five of these things.
Yes.
Is there a half-life on these suckers? Or they don't expire?
Nope, they don't expire.
So that's a great way to do it. And again, Drug Take Back Day is Saturday, and just you said there's like 70 locations across the state, but where can people go to find out if there's one near them?
Great question. They could log on to DEA, right? It'd be DEA-take-back.com, right?
Or they simplify that sucker.
Yeah.
So say it again.
You could go to DEA.gov, or you could go to DEA-take-back.com. Okay.
Hyphen, not slashes, but hyphens.
That is correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. I mean, you can find it too, I'm sure, with relatively good search. So thanks for this. Can I take it home?
Yes, please. And if you'd like five more, I'm happy to send them to you.
No, I'll save you the postage. But I definitely think that my wife and I would do that because, like, again, you know, you have children, like, stuff comes in and out and sits there for a long time, and you go to use it and you haven't used it, and you're like, this is expired. And I definitely think we'll use it. I want to ask you, David, just generally, how are things in the state of Connecticut from your daily lens of the work you do?
Good question. Again, I got to tell you, it's unfortunate. I think we're making strides, but with the advent and the introduction of fentanyl into the drug game on the streets, not only in Connecticut, but across our country, it's changed the scope and it's changed the severity of the problem that we're actually facing. It started off that back in the day, heroin was the big drug, and that's what people wanted. Mm-hmm. And since the introduction of fentanyl on our streets, it's now in everything, right? We don't see kilograms of heroin anymore.
So I would just say, I'll never forget, I did a documentary on this, and a guy came in from California who lived in Gloucester, Mass., which was a big, big, big heroin opioid substance use disorder sort of central place. And he said, well, in California, we did black tar heroin, but nobody died. You know, and then he came to the East, and then it's just a game changer with fentanyl. But what you say is really interesting to me. It's not just in heroin. It's in...
So fentanyl in its purest form is
people
right.
would just buy fentanyl now.
That is correct.
And because if you're addicted, you want to chase the strongest high that you can.
So, yes, but it also has to do with economics, right? It's a lot less expensive to purchase, right? So the bigger problem we're facing in our little state here and across the country is that now fentanyl is being pressed to look like other substances, mm-hmm. right? Like people are not going on the street asking can I get straight fentanyl? Of course, they may be doing that. But now fentanyl is being made to look just like Adderall and Xanax and oxycodone.
And they're selling it as such.
That is correct.
So because the drug dealers want to kill you, is that?
So I don't believe that's the question. I think it comes down again to pure economics. I don't think at the end of the day, the two major cartels in Mexico have any concern about the number of people that die in the United States of America because they're making a lot of money. Right. So what are they trying to do? They're trying to take the stigma away. It's no longer a needle in the arm. It's no longer in a back alley. It's literally targeting young children over social media platforms and offering them pills that look like Flintstone vitamins or candy or Adderall. And in the last few decades, you know, we've really grown a lot as a country. We've been able to identify learning disabilities and behaviors and develop some amazing drugs like Adderall and yeah. Xanax to help children.
Right.
And a lot of first-time users that – or a lot of first-time people that die of an accidental poisoning, they think they're ingesting a legitimate pharmaceutical-grade drug, and what it is pressed fentanyl in a lab in Mexico.
We should have you back. Did you want to say something?
I was going to say, too, I think it's so scary as a parent, right? We were just talking about our children. But there are things that we can do as parents and that are really effective. Just by having a conversation with the young people in your life around the dangers of drugs and alcohol, those young people are actually 50% less likely to use than those peers whose parents don't have the conversation.
Yeah.
And starting the conversation young is also really, really key. I started my first conversation with my daughter at 4 years old when she came to me saying that she was going to take her gummy snacks and that she was taking her pills. And I didn't understand where it came from, but it came from seeing my mother take prescribed medication. Huh. And so opening up to that very natural conversation of what's healthy to put into your own body and continuing those conversations yeah. now 6-10 years later.
This is such a huge topic, and we don't have the time for it. I mean, with Mike, the thing that's crazy is that for all the drugs, illicit drugs that are out there, truly like heroin or fentanyl is the one you can't even try the first time, right? Because the addictive quality is, and sometimes difficult to tell teenagers that because that only tempts them more. Something. I mean, it's such a really touchy subject. And you're right, the earlier you talk about it, the later they try anything, whether it's alcohol or anything, is the better for their long-term future. David, we're talking with David Lanzoni from DEA, Special Agent in Charge, and Kelly Julesen with the Governor's Prevention Partnership. And again, Drug Take Back Day is Saturday. And if you want to get the pouches on your own, you can go to preventionct.org. If you just do sort of Google search for DEA in Connecticut, maybe you can get connected with the locations for the 70-plus locations for Saturday. But I do want to ask you, Narcan is this amazing thing. But at the same time, I wonder what your opinion is. Does it sometimes allow people who suffer from substance use disorder to take more risk because they know that there's something on the other? Like, you know, this tandem drug use thing where they can bring each other back. I'm wondering, have you seen some unintended consequences with the readily available Narcan?
Listen, I think your point is very valid that it is an amazing drug, right? Especially for someone who inadvertently takes a substance
saves lives.
Yeah. Unequivocally, but is definitely not an end-all be-all, right? We have had instances, there are documented instances where someone slips into an overdose, they get hit with a dosage of Narcan, their friends or whomever they've ingested with think, okay, they're perfectly fine. That person needs to be rendered legitimate medical treatment thereafter because it mm-hmm. is possible that the amount of fentanyl that was ingested could put them back, yeah. correct. And it's a very dangerous, slippery slope, right? There are other alternatives to help people maybe stay away from their if we have a vulnerable population, there are there are treatments, there are substances available to help wean yourself off of the illicit substance. Yeah. And I would suggest that's a much better way to go as opposed to thinking you have safety in a bottle from Narcan.
Anything, Kelly, before we go that we missed or you want to restate that coming into this weekend or in general with what you do with the Governor's Prevention Partnership?
I just want to underscore prevention. I think there's often so much conversation goes to naloxone, and of course, let's get it in as many hands as we can. But at that point, are we literally too late? We're bringing people back from the brink of death. And so what can we be doing earlier and often to help prevent people from getting there to begin with? And that's where we can all play a role with the pouches, with having the conversations and taking those active everyday steps that can make a really big difference.
Congrats on your daughter. A big night at the Yard Goats last night.
Thank you.
That must have been really, really fun. The Yard Goats, it's such a fun place.
Awesome.
People got to go because it's
great.
I mean, honestly, I think that it's a treasure for Hartford. Kelly Julison with the Governor's Prevention Partnership and David Lanzoni with the DEA here in New England. Thank you both. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you, Brian.
Appreciate it.
We appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much.